Wow, so star principle is fractal, which means that it applies on every scale, okay?
Yep.
So you can apply it to, hey, I just got out of college. I need to find a job. So I'm going to find a job at a company in a growing market that's a leader, right? Even if it's just working in the mailroom, as it were, right? Or star principle could apply to which of our five products are we going to really push this year, right? Or which of our five product opportunities are we going to make a new product in, right? And it could be star principle is you're an entrepreneur and what kind of business that you should go into and use your sweat equity. And it's also which business you buy stock in,
Yep.
public or private.
All of the above. I mean, I always say to people, why would you work for a company that wasn't a star? Because you'll get greater opportunities. You'll get, maybe good bonuses. You might get stock options in the company. There's a good chance it will be very successful. There's a chance it will not be around in 3 or 4 years' time. But what the hell? You get another job. You find another star business.
Right.
But usually, I mean, the ones that I've come across, they usually work out. And so why wouldn't you do that? Imagine you had been one of the first 10 people in Microsoft or one of the first 10 people in Google. Probably not working in the mailroom, but not necessarily someone who was totally brilliant and the rest of it. You'd be a billionaire by now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not do it? And it's not like you're doing it and it's really not an enjoyable experience because working in a high growth company isn't enjoyable. So you might work very, very hard, it's true. But nevertheless, you'll enjoy it because you'll be fulfilling your own potential. And all this stuff that the self-help movement says is basically right. I mean, it sounds very trite. But it's right. People do want to develop and they do want to learn and they do want to have new experiences and they do want to discover that they can do things that nobody thought they could do before because they never tried them before. And okay, they might try some things and find they can't do it, but then they can find something else which they can. And in a very high growth business, you can get that experience. So yes, it's great for them. Yes, I cannot understand if you're an entrepreneur why you would persist with a business that's not a star business. If you understand the concept, which is not very difficult, and it's not just two criteria, a number of things which tell you whether or not you've got a star business. You've invented a way of testing for it, I think. You can do it in a minute, and or 5 minutes anyway. So if you discover that your business isn't a star business, then the question is, can you make it a star business by changing it? So then you've got, very easy, two dimensions to think about. Can you increase the market growth rate in the business? Well, one of the other things, writing this book called Simplify, that I've discovered is that a lot of the success stories in American and European and Asian business are actually from people who come along and say, you know what, we could cut the price in half. Or we could more than cut the price by half in this business. So you think about McDonald's. You used to have hamburgers. When McDonald's set up, a hamburger cost 15 cents in 1948. The coffee shop was selling them for 30 or 40 cents. So what do you do? Well, you find a way of automating the process, and you get the customers to line up instead of having waitresses. And you don't offer hundreds of items on the menu. You offer 9 items on the menu. And hey, with developing the formula and actually systematizing it in a way that Ray Kroc did, then you find other people who will help you. So you get some help from the customers because they clear away their own trash, they line up for the food and so on and so forth, and they accept the fact that they can't order a milkshake. They've got to have a hamburger and one or two of root beer you can have or Coke or something like that. So you basically then franchise the business, then you take it international. Which everyone said you can't do, but which I think Americans in particular are very good at inventing what I call universal products, which is something which against the odds. Who would have thought the French would like McDonald's? But they do. A certain sort of French person. And it's kind of, it's where you take the kids and, So you create a very simple business. You more than halve the price. IKEA in furniture is another example. How did they do that initially? Because the guy who founded it, Ingvar. Sorry, I've forgotten the guy's name. We'll come back to that. But the guy who invented it was trying to move a table around, and he put the table in the trunk of his car, and he couldn't shut the lid. So one of his friends said, well, why don't you saw off the legs and then put them back on again? And that was how the old idea of self-assembly furniture thing. So again, there's this theme that you get the customers to do some of the work. So instead of having a salesman in the store, you get the customer to, you know, walk through the store. You, instead of having a salesman, you have placards and you have a catalogue that they can follow, and they buy the stuff and they take it to the checkout and they take it to the car and they drive it home, which was completely unlike the traditional furniture business where, you know, you have small manufacturers making stuff at really high cost, you have small retailers with expensive salesmen, then you have a distribution network which you buy in from third-party suppliers who are not particularly suited at moving furniture. And, you know, all that the founder of IKEA did was just design a system where you could more than halve the price. And, you know, furniture is not a high-growth business, but IKEA created a segment, the self-assembly segment, with its giant stores. You know, it doesn't own its manufacturers, but it designs the furniture and it gives the contracts for the manufacturer. So it has to all look like Swedish stuff, whether it's made in Germany or wherever, you know, it can be made in China. But it's got to look like Swedish stuff, Swedish style, you know, and to a very high specification, but cheap. And then you put it in these giant stores, you provide a huge car park. On holidays, you provide, you know, clowns and magicians who are very cheap. You know, you just create a different business system. And the way to do that is to think, well, is there any way that we could cut the price to less than half of what the price is today? And if you can, then you'd create that system. And then a market which was previously growing at 2% a year, suddenly this segment of the market grew at 20% a year for 30 years. If you do that, you become a billionaire.